feel free also to ask questions so we can come up with questions around the tables, and then we will summarize. I will coordinate and summarize at the end of the day. So if you have any questions, we will do that. So what are we looking for? As we read, we are looking for three things. So on each table, you will come up with answers to these three things. The first question is, what can you learn from the above passage? And please, every one of us is a leader. And please, let's not shut anyone down. Let everyone be given the opportunity to express what they sense or feel that they are learning from this scripture. And please, this is not an opportunity for anyone around the table to go into any sort of expository revelation that you want to share. It's a study. We want people to express, we want people to share, and we want to ask questions. So we have leaders on each table who will just help us coordinate, and everybody will be able to contribute. So the question, number one, what can you learn? So everybody must at least learn something from the passage. Number two, from what you have learned, what are you going to start doing from what you are learning? And then the third thing is, we must be intentional and deliberate to decide tonight that I am going to do something today about what I'm reading, what I've learned. So, for example, last week, someone said that they are going to go home and read this passage again. I hope that person did so, because I think I know who that was. So did you? I'm not looking in any direction. Did you? Yeah. Thank you for helping me to ask him. And by the way, we enjoyed your contribution. You were online last week, and you still contributed. So those online, please, are not exempted. We are going to have a quiet time where we're going to be studying. So those online should study with us, and they can type their responses. So what can you learn from the above passage? What are you going to start doing? And then what are you going to do today about it? So I read, you read, and then our coordinator on each table reads. So on this table, who's leading this table? I send out the leaders out, okay? Uncle Charles there. Uncle Gift is meant to be leading this table. So maybe you just have to. Uncle Tola, you stand in for Uncle Gift. Okay? No, you stand in. And Auntie Abu is there. Dr. Jumoke is meant to be leading one of the tables also. Please don't sit in isolation there. Please join the table. God has set a table before you. Please join. You can join this table. This is a lovely table. This table is beckoning. Yeah, join this one. Yeah, join this table. Let me give you a chair. Okay. Please allow the children also to contribute, because we had some fantastic contributions last week. Okay, so let me read without much ado. So listen, please. Listen. It's more of listening. It's more of meditating. And then we share what we hear. Okay. Acts chapter 21, verse 1 to 14. We titled it Holy Life, Living the Will of God. So that's just to guide us in the direction of the study. So I read and you listen. Faith comes by. Faith comes by. All right. And hearing by the word of God. And what you hear tonight, please get ready to do. If you don't do it, is as useless as you not hearing it in the first place. Acts 21 verse 1. Now it came to pass that when we had departed from them and set sail, Running a straight course, we came to Kos. The following day to Rhodes, and from there to Patara. And finding a ship sailing over to Phoenicia, we went aboard and set sail. When we had sighted Cyprus, we passed it on the left and sailed to Syria and landed at Tyre. For there the ship was to unload our cargo. And finding disciples, we stayed there 7 days. They told Paul, through the Spirit, not to go up to Jerusalem. And when he had come to the end of those days, we departed and went on our way. And they all accompanied us with wives and children till we were out of the city. And we knelt down on the shore and prayed. When we had taken our leave of one another, we boarded the ship. And they returned home. And when we had finished our voyage from Tyre, we came to Ptolemais, greeted the brethren, and stayed with them one day. On the next day, we, who were Paul's companions, departed and came to Caesarea and entered the house of Philip the evangelist, who was one of the seven, and stayed with him. Now, this man had four virgin daughters who prophesied. And as we stayed many days, a certain prophet named Agabus came down from Judea. And when he had come to us, he took Paul's belt, bound his own hands and feet, and said, "Thus says the Holy Spirit, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man who owns this belt and deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles." Now, when we heard these things, both we and those from that place pleaded with him not to go up to Jerusalem. Then Paul answered, "What do you mean by weeping and breaking my heart? For I am ready not only to be bound, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus." So when he will not be persuaded, we ceased saying, "The will of the Lord be done." Amen. So on your tables, read. Let the reader read to us. And then the third time, the leader, there's a reader, not necessarily the leader read, but the leader also can read. Read this passage to us, and then the third time, the leader can guide the discussion. Remember, three things we're looking for. Everyone, what are you learning from this scripture, this passage? And then, what are you going to do? Just three things. And then, what are you going to do today? What are you going to start doing? The second question, and what are you going to start doing today? All right, over to you. Let's read. We have just 10 minutes of study to listen and then contribute. After 10 minutes, we start contributing. All right, start the clock. Enjoying the study. So we have 60 seconds to, because we just want to get feedback. You have 60 seconds to do. Study to show yourself. So this is to stir you up to study. We want to share. We want to start getting feedback. As we give the feedback, let me encourage us something that is happening, that I sense is happening. The study we're having here is to actually steer us all individually so that we go back home to go study and get deeper into our personal fellowship and knowledge of the Word of God. You know, it's easy for someone to stand here and teach. You sit down, you take it in, you go home. I will do this, I will not do that. But now that your spirit is stirred up, you go back and take some action. All right, so we want contributions, and we'll just give us 2 minutes each per table. Just try to summarize. Let's start with what highlights of what people learned on the tables. So the leaders can either speak on behalf of the table. So let's start with that. We're going around. So let's start from the center. What are the things that people learned on that table that were highlighted? And please, those online, if you can check, somebody check the Facebook Live for us. If people are contributing so that we can, I think we can check where we... All right, so middle table, what are the things people learned quickly?
So what we learned, it's number one, say things as the Holy Spirit has led you to say, okay, rather than saying things in your own, using your, from your own, what's the word now?
Imagination,
or, okay, yeah. And claiming that it's from the Holy Spirit.
Okay.
So there is always that temptation. Maybe we already have a mindset.
A preconceived
yeah, mindset.
Okay.
And then we say it's the Holy Spirit.
All right.
Yeah. And I think you've given examples. You've given an example in the past of when we're praying for something, rather than allowing the will of God to happen, we ask for God, oh, I want this. You already have your own conclusion as to
the way you want
the way you want it to happen,
okay,
rather than the way God wants it to happen.
All right.
The other thing we also learned was check out for people around you, and then sorry, the mic is
something's jamming. So what do you mean by check out for people around you?
Was it you that gave that?
Well, you can give the person the microphone to explain quickly. What do they mean by check out for people around you? Okay. From this passage.
In verse 4,
yep,
when ending part of verse 3 says that when the ship went to unload the cargo, the typical Kingsley is going to just book his hotel and take some selfie. But what they did was to find a local assembly and then try to check up on them. So what it means, like, we're at every point we see ourselves trying to check up on local assemblies or local, like, fellow brethren around you.
Okay. All right. We get that.
The other thing again is...
Just one more quickly.
Okay. Yeah, about we should be prepared to make sacrifices, because Paul, at the latter end of the passage, was prepared to die effectively. And we ask ourselves that how many of us are prepared to pay that price. And I use myself as an example. I'm always a bit timid or careful about speaking out about my faith,
right,
in this environment, because of I don't know how people will take it. And I remember today I went to pick Felami in school, and I saw a lady wore the full niqab, where she covered everything,
yep,
and she was proud of our own faith. And I asked myself, would I be proud to talk about my faith and let people know about my faith? So it's just for us having that courage and boldness to be able to talk about our faith and damn the consequences.
Okay. All right. Let's quickly move to another table. Which table is ready? Okay. So 2 minutes quickly.
On our table, we learned that even though Paul was warned about
doubt what he was what was going to befall him,
yep.
he still insisted on going. We also learned that there was, from our table, we learned about fellowship, and that there was fellowship, and in that fellowship included children. Children were not excluded in that fellowship, so it was really family.
There
was family.
Nice so spot in there.
We also saw that seeing people off is biblical. Some cultures where you escort
seeing people
off or escorting people to their point of exit from a city.
Okay.
We saw that it was biblical, which was the disciples all followed him to the shore, which some cultures embrace. Next thing we saw was that even though Paul was a stranger in the cities he went, he still got hospitality. They didn't see him. I mean, he was going to different cities, but he still got hospitality in those cities as long as they were believers. We should not let emotions sway us when we are, maybe the Lord has told us to do something, not allowing emotions to move us away from stuff. Someone said taking someone's belt to bind them and taking them to the enemy is dangerous.
Taking somebody's
belt to tie them,
to take them
to the enemy.
And then deliver them to the hand
the
of
enemy.
The enemy.
Yeah, that is wrong. That should not happen.
That should not happen.
Yes.
Did that happen in that passage? Or is just something...
Something that someone...
Okay,
yeah,
all right.
And yes, so
One more quickly, because we need to move. Okay, don't worry, we'll still come round. Yeah. Yes, table ready. We should have different microphones. Yeah? Okay, let's move to this. Let's have your table, and then we'll have this table, and then we'll have that table. 2 minutes.
Yes.
Yeah, what are the things people saw, learned?
So some of the things we've learned is no matter how bad it might get, we should always do what God says we should do.
Mm.
And, you know, carrying out for you, yeah, so in the modern day system, are we able to, like what you talked about, talk about God's work, and this could not only just be by vocal, it should also be by action as well. And also, we should treat people the way we want to be treated. I mean, when Paul and the disciples went to that place, they treated them nicely. And, you know, those people, to them, Paul was a stranger, and his disciples were strangers as well. So we should also welcome people, no matter where they come from. And also, yes, no matter what you're experiencing right now, or a stop you are right now, there's a reason for that situation. And the stop might not necessarily be good, but it's for us to learn something from it. And sometimes it's just to save one person's soul.
One more.
Okay. Yes. So the voice of the people does not necessarily mean the voice of God.
Mm.
He had the knowledge of what is needed to do. And he remained focused.
Thank you very much. Yes, can we move on to that table? Thank you for all this contribution. They need a microphone, please. Oh, there's a microphone on your table already. Okay, so who, yeah. I think it's off. Just need to switch it on.
Hi.
Yes, working.
Hi. Quite interesting discussion we had here. Because before chapter 20, we looked at chapter 21.
Yes.
We went and looked at chapter 20. And in chapter 20, around verse 20, 22. Paul says, and see now I go bound in the spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that will happen to me there. That's Paul speaking there. So we are saying, is it possible that is because of zeal or whatever that Paul is taking this decision to go to Jerusalem?
Okay.
That's, we were debated on that.
Right.
Chapter 20, verse 20, says, because now I go bound in the spirit. Because sometimes we are convinced that what we are doing might be the will of God, but it might be because of zeal.
Zeal. Okay, go on, sir.
And then verse chapter 21, if we look at verse 4, where the disciples are, to the Holy Spirit, they convince him not to go.
Right. So, was Paul acting out of zeal, or was he living the will of God. What was your consensus around that table? Do you think it was
I think
the will of God here, or it was
acting? I do believe it was acting according to the will of God.
Okay.
Definitely, because even in Galatians, if you look back, it says, I'm convinced when God revealed his purpose for my life, I didn't confound with flesh and blood.
Okay.
You know, so all right. Yes, on that point. So
okay, thank you very much. And this table?
Just starting from where the other group stopped, confidence in the Word of God, we were able to trace back to Paul's conversion in Acts of the Apostles 9, 1 to 14, 15. God had already told him, Jesus had already told Paul that he would stand before the Gentiles, kings, and the sons of Israel. And at this time, he hadn't stood before kings, and he knew that the assignment hadn't finished. So the other thing we learned from it is just confidence, sticking to what God has told you. But the other lesson we learned is when the prophecy came, two prophetic words came, what we do sometimes is to say, thank you, Jesus, and to run away, or to, you know, say we are not going to die. Mm. But so prophetic words have two meanings. It's either to prepare you, because that was preparing Paul
for what was going to befall him,
what was going to happen.
Okay.
The other side of it is that it could be a warning for you as well.
Mm.
But it depends on what God has told you or your relationship.
Prior, okay.
Prior. We learned about hospitality and a welcoming
attitude. That seems to be coming up on every table.
A welcoming attitude. Then we also learned about the children of Philip, the evangelist, becoming prophetesses.
Is Uncle Philip here tonight? Maybe that's a rhema for you.
And the interesting thing was that Philip knew his purpose as being an evangelist, as well as his children. He helped his children discover their purpose. And we learned that is very key, helping our children discover their purpose.
Okay.
The network as well. Agabus being a prophet, hanging out with Philip was quite unique. The people you hang around with. And we also learned believing and trusting the word of God, irrespective of what the situation is. Praise God.
Okay. Yes. Thank you, everybody. Decision time. Okay, you want to say something? Okay, questions. Okay, questions and then contribution online. Quickly, let's take that. And then we'll come to the question. Please just give them the mic. Yeah, give them the second mic so that we don't... There's a mic there. Just give it to them. Yes, please.
Yeah, this is kind of like a contribution question. Contribution online.
And okay, contribution in form of
like
a question.
Okay? I think it's what we're discussing as well.
Right, let's hit it.
So it says, when the Spirit reveals an unpleasant situation about the future...
Mm.
Should it be a warning to deter us from walking into such situation?
Mm-hmm.
Paul did the opposite. How do we interpret Paul's action, and what should we do in such situation?
Good question. I think partly that question has been answered by this group. It depends on your relationship with God. What God had prior to this time spoken to Paul. Now, when we look at Jesus himself in our little corner here, Jesus has already forewarned anyone who wants to walk with him, follow him, that in this world, we're going to be persecuted for his name's sake. You want to live holy, you want to live righteous, you will be persecuted. He says some of us will be thrown into prison. Some of us will be, you know, he forewarned. So, when we are looking at the will of God, please don't try to look at the will of God from one perspective alone, that the will of God means, you know, everything will be rosy. Yeah, you know, you have a Bentley, you live in a big house, you know, everything will just be good. The will of God is also persecution. The will of God is the word of God. So what does the word of God say? So here, based on Paul's relationship, based on what this group was able to trace, if you look at it, God had already spoken to him the things he would do. And I think in one of the epistles, I think he knew also that he was going to suffer for Christ's sake. So, and that group also rightly said, you know, let's distinguish between acting out zeal and also really walking and following the Spirit of God. So when you balance these things, please, our relationship with God. And I believe one thing strongly with my heart. No matter what level you are at in your relationship with God, that is the level at which God will speak to you. Think about a child, a baby. We have babies in the room. We communicate with these babies. Will you start teaching this baby now 1 + 1 = 2? Or will you start teaching Daniel their calculus? Will you start teaching, let me see, somebody even older, Jessica? Are you going to start teaching Jessica quantum physics? Well, I think some of people of our age, if she can comprehend it. So what basically is God will relate to every one of us at our level. So this kind of warning can come to a Paul who knew who he was and who had walked with God. Look at it clearly. The first one was they received by the Spirit. Don't go to Jerusalem because what we can see. You know, the people there didn't, were not so specific. But thank God, the prophet Agabus came and he was clear. This is what will happen clearly to you if you go to Jerusalem. And what was his response? His response is what should let us see how deep this man was with God. What was Paul's response? Let's see. Paul answered, what do you mean by weeping and breaking my heart? In other words, you guys are just getting emotional. This is not about emotions here. I am ready not only to be bound, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. Ready to die. You know what Jesus said? Anyone who tries to save his life will lose it. And anyone who is ready to lose his life for his sake will preserve it. So do we have, is our faith strong enough to death? So it depends on our relationship. God will speak to you at your level. If you are somebody who is probably, you don't even know when the Holy Spirit is speaking, I don't think the Holy Spirit will come and tell you this kind of warning. Speak to you at your level. Really speak to you at your level. So let's understand that. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. This was a warning. This was more of like a preparation and also a warning. And at times, this, like the group here identified, we really test how sold out we are to God. He was sold out. Paul was really sold out. His life meant nothing to him as long as he did what Christ expected him to do. So, question.
A question came on our table when we were going through the study, and it was like, how did the people who came and told Paul,
how
the people who came to speak to Paul, how did they know that it was the Holy Spirit that was ministering to them?
Beautiful.
To say those things?
Beautiful. That's a good question. And when this group was coming, when you were saying something about you must speak by the Spirit of God and don't speak by your mind. I'm paraphrasing what you said. So the question I wanted to throw to them is that, okay, how do you know when it's the Holy Spirit speaking to you? So how did these people know that it was the Holy Spirit speaking to Paul? Again, relationship. My sheep, they know me. They know my voice. They hear my voice. Right? You see, as young as this baby is, I perceive this baby, I started recognizing the voice of her mother and can distinguish the mother's voice from the father's voice. As young as he is, as she is. Why? Relationship. So when we have that close relationship and walk with God, we will recognize his voice when he's speaking to us. Forget it. Do you know what Jesus said? It's a powerful statement. He said, my sheep hear my voice. They won't hear the voice of a stranger. They won't hear the voice of a hireling. Think about it. Who are the people you are in relationship with? When you hear their voice, do you recognize their voices? Let's not complicate God. It's the same way. You have a relationship with God, you will recognize his voice. Even when he's coming to warn you, when he's coming to guide you, when he's coming to tell you you will receive £2,000, and when he's coming to tell you £2,000 is coming, if you receive it, you are gone. Same £2,000, but different different perspective to it. So, relationship. And this should stir us up and challenge us, really. If anything at all, this study we're having now should propel us to go to seek to know God more and more. So, please, in 1 minute, round the table, unless we have any further questions, any contribution online again. Okay, accountability time, and then we'll close. Can you go around your table, please, and ask, what are you going to do today? Please, let me challenge us with this, right? Study, scientifically and scripturally as proven, if you hear an instruction or get an information and you don't act on it within 24 to 48 hours maximum, you will lose that information and whatever instruction it is will not benefit you. So if there's a blessing attached to the instruction and you don't carry it out within 48 hours maximum, then it will be of no benefit. Scripturally, just like the body without the spirit is dead, so is faith without works. So you've got to act, and that's why we're challenging ourselves in this month. God is building us a spiritual house. We are God's spiritual house. If you want to grow, please, when you go to see your doctor and he gives you a prescription, please take the medication. Jesus is the great physician here. So what are you going to do? All right, 1 minute. Let's go around each table. No, talk to ourselves and hold ourselves accountable so that when you meet yourself, okay, you've done it. This table has done it. Awesome. So you know what each person said they will do. Please, it's not gossiping. I'm interested in what Joshua said he will do. What did he say? Because I want to hold him accountable. He has said it. Okay. He hasn't said it. He has said it. What did he say he will do? He's going to start helping people, saving them from harm. Well done, Joshua. Okay? All right, please, let's go around the table. If you have not done it, accountability, note the person talking, and who is going to hold them accountable. And please, one of the things again is note everyone on your table and pray for them tonight before you sleep. So let's do that in a minute quickly. Our camera lady must be held accountable too. So go to your group and be held accountable. Yeah? Let's do that quickly. Our time is gone. Accountability. What are you going to do tonight? Today? Yeah, today. That's what we're saying. Not that what are you going to start doing? You've got to take action today within the next 48 hours. And please hold me accountable. Before we go, we have to pray for somebody whose birthday is today. Hold me accountable that I said so. Yeah. We're going to pray. Are we ready? You've done it before. So who's holding who accountable? Please don't just say we will do this. Somebody has to account for somebody. She's been raising up her hand since. Before we finally go, can our sister Christine please come forward? Today is your birthday. Today is her birthday. today.